And when we look at this chapter of John chapter 11, at the beginning of the chapter, we're introduced to a man called Lazarus. And this man was loved of the Lord. But yet when we read there, we find that Lazarus was sick. He was sick. And as we read through the chapter, we find that this sickness was unto death. This man, Lazarus, actually died of his sickness. And we see this in verse 11 and verse 14. Jesus is speaking and he says, "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then saith Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." And so here the Lord, he makes it very clear as we read this chapter that Lazarus was actually dead. And here he sets off, and his purpose is to go and to raise Lazarus from the dead. And then in verse 39, when we follow on in the chapter, we find that when the Lord actually arrives and he comes to the grave, we read there that this man Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. He's been dead for 4 days. And his body has begun to decompose. It's begun to break down to the point that he stinks. And we know of that, don't we? Particularly at home in Australia, where when you drive along the road, very often there'll be dead kangaroos or dead foxes on the side of the road. And as you drive past through the air conditioning of the car, you get a whiff of this terrible stench of this dead animal. And when we think of this scene, that's what it would have been like to have stood out the front of this tomb. The smell would have reached your nose, the smell of a man decomposing, a man who's thoroughly dead. And when we consider the state of this man, Lazarus, in a physical sense, the fact that he was dead, we see an illustration of the state of a sinner, the state of a sinner in a spiritual sense. You see, the Bible declares of the sinner that he is spiritually dead. And this is what we see in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 and verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. You'll know these verses. And it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And again in verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins." And so that really is a description of a sinner outside of Christ. He's spiritually dead. And the sinner without Christ here, he is a person described by the Lord, the same as this man Lazarus in a physical sense. He's spiritually dead. Now you might ask tonight, what does it mean to be spiritually dead? Well, to be spiritually dead means to be an enemy of God. It means to be alienated from God. It means to be a rebel against God. And this is very clear from the fact that it says in this verse, verse 1 of chapter 2, that the sinner's dead in trespasses and sins. And here we see the reason. The reason why the sinner is dead spiritually, because he's committed transgressions. That is, faults, he's errors. And sins, he's committed offenses against God. And so here we see the reason why the sinner outside of Christ is spiritually dead, because he has rebelled against God. He has committed acts against God. And therefore, he is in a state of spiritual deadness. And this is what we see, and we turn the page to Ephesians 4 and verse 18. And it's speaking of the lost. And it says, "Having the understanding darkened." The unconverted man cannot understand the things of God. As that verse said, he cannot know them because they're spiritually discerned. The man who's lost cannot understand the things of God. It says, being alienated from the life of God through their ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The person who is spiritually dead is alienated from God. And you tonight in the meeting, if you're not converted, That is your state. When you think of your life, you've lived your life in rebellion against God. You haven't considered the things of God. You haven't thought of what God has said. The things of the Lord, the things of God, what Christ is, are of no interest to you. Spiritual things are of absolutely no interest to you. You're spiritually dead. You see, this is what it says in Romans 3 when it says that there's none that seeketh after God. And let me ask you that tonight if you're unconverted. You look at your life and is there a seeking after God, and you'll find that there isn't. The man who is spiritually dead doesn't seek after God. He's a rebel against God. And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that He came to reconcile us, there again it illustrates the point. Why is it that Christ had to come? As the Bible teaches, to reconcile us back to God. It's because we were alienated from God. It's because we were separated from God. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ coming, reaching out to us to reconcile us back into a relationship with God. But just as Lazarus needed Christ, here's this man, he's dead. He's been in the grave 4 days. He's begun to decompose. He's stinking. What can be done for this man? What help is there for him? You see, this man, Lazarus, he needs Christ. And dear unbeliever, tonight, that's what you need. You need Christ. And that's what I want to speak on tonight. Christ, the sinner's greatest need. Christ, the sinner's greatest need. You see, when we look at this passage, we see some wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're unconverted tonight, take heed to the Word of God. You see, first of all, I want you to see in this chapter, the 11th chapter of John, Christ's purpose. Turn back with me to John chapter 11, and we see there in verse 11, Christ's purpose. We read there in verse 11, it says, "These things said he, and after that he had said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may waken him out of his sleep." Here we see the Lord's purpose in going to Lazarus was specifically to raise him from the dead. There was a definite purpose in view here. And we see this again in verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. The Lord has a purpose here. And I want you to notice on this point that it was Christ who went to Lazarus. It wasn't Lazarus going to Christ. And let me say that to you tonight. You cannot come to God on your own. You see, salvation's not man reaching to God, but it's God condescending and reaching to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, you're spiritually dead. You're not able to save yourself. You need Christ. But here we see the purpose of Christ. He's come to raise Lazarus from the dead. You see, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, and we've seen that. Man is incapable of helping himself. He's at enmity with God. And so here's the gospel. What is it? It's God reaching down to men. God reaching down to men. And when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and His purpose for coming to this world, what was it? Why did Christ take upon Himself human flesh? Why did He condescend to live upon this earth? It's very simple, friends. He came to save sinners. This is what we read in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And if you're unconverted tonight, realize this, that the Lord didn't come just to make salvation possible, but He came with a definite purpose. The Lord had a goal in mind, to save sinners. You see, salvation is available. What does the Bible say of Christ? It said, "Ye shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." There it is. There's the purpose in the very name of Christ. There's many preachers today, and you'll hear them, and they'll say about Christ that he came just to give us an example of love, or that he just came to show that he lived a moral life. But my friends, this is not true, because here we have the purpose. The Lord came to save sinners. You see, there's a definite purpose in mind, and the Lord always fulfills his purpose. You see, Christ came to raise Lazarus, and he did. And the Lord came to save sinners, and he's going to save sinners, and he has done. There is a definite purpose in mind here. But then secondly, notice Christ's credentials. Christ's credentials, because in verse 25, we read, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Here in this statement, we see the power of Christ. And what a wonderful statement it is, because the Lord comes into this situation where there is a man who's dead. There is a man who, according to the people about, it was a hopeless situation. And yet Christ comes in, and here he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And here we see that the Lord is the head and the very author of resurrection. He's the only one with such power. The Lord Jesus Christ here is presented. He claims uniqueness here. I am the resurrection and the life. He has the authority. He has the power over death. And when we look at the Lord, we see the one who is able to raise from the dead, but he also has life. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, he goes on there and he says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And really that could be read, though he die physically, yet he shall live spiritually. And what the Lord is saying here is, and think of this, dear believer, tonight, that when we've been saved and we have a spiritual life within us, we've been regenerated. Oh yes, though the physical body may die, the spiritual life will never die. Once we've been saved and we've come into union with the Lord, and yes, we're converted, we will never die spiritually. You see, Jesus says there, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He shall never die spiritually. Or yes, we may die in our physical body. But the Lord's teaching here, he is the one that gives spiritual life. And when we have been saved, we all have that spiritual life for eternity. And you notice with me in these verses that Christ, he not only has the power to return life, but he also has the power to sustain it. Because he says, I am the resurrection. The Lord is saying here, I am the one who can raise this man who's dead to life again. But he says, I am the life. And so we're being taught there that the Lord can not only resurrect, but he can also sustain life. He is life itself. You see, this is the one that Lazarus needs. It's Christ. You think of what the Lord said there. I am the resurrection and the life. And there's Lazarus, dead in the grave. And Christ is the one he needs, isn't he? But then you think tonight of a sinner. And if you're unconverted, you're like Lazarus. You're dead spiritually. And you need one who is the resurrection and the life. You need one who can resurrect you from the deadness of your spiritual life and to give you spiritual life. You need a spiritual resurrection. That's what Jesus is saying here. You need that life. You need Christ. You see, we read in John 10 and verse 18, it says of the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke and he said, no man taketh. And he's speaking of his life. He says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What's the Lord saying here? Oh, men haven't got control over the Lord. When the Lord died upon the cross, men didn't have the power to kill him. But the Lord laid down his life and he took it up again. And what's he teaching us here? It is the Lord has power over life. He has the victory over death. And when the Lord is there, death cannot survive in his presence because he is the resurrection and the life. And let me ask you that tonight. Do you know him? Because the Bible says, this is life eternal, that ye might know him, the only begotten Son of God, that ye might know Christ. Do you know him? Do you have everlasting life? Are you alive spiritually? Has the Lord come and resurrected you spiritually? Do you know the Lord? Oh, my friend, tonight, if you don't know the Lord, you're dead and you need Christ. He's the only one that can save you. You see, to know Christ is to know the one who is the resurrection and the life. And you think about that tonight. There's nobody else that can claim that. It's Christ and Christ alone, and you need to know him. He's the only one who can save you tonight. You see, this is what the apostles preached. It was Christ. They preached that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Or tonight, if you're seeking and you're looking for life, and you might know, yes, you sense the depravity of your own soul, but you don't know where to go, and you've tried many things, but let me urge you tonight that there's salvation only in Christ. Oh, yes, when we look to Christ, he is the resurrection and the life. He's the one that you need to come to tonight and give your life to him. But then thirdly, we see Christ's love. Christ's love, because we read in verse 35, this is the shortest verse in the Bible. In it, it has such meaning because it simply says, Jesus wept. Here's the Lord standing out the front of this tomb. And oh yes, as he would have stood there, the smell would have come to him. This man who's dead. And here's the Lord and he's weeping. And he's weeping to the extent that those who gathered about looked upon the Lord. And their reaction was, behold how he loved him. The Lord displays such emotion here that those about could see the love of Christ for Lazarus. Let me tell you this tonight. The Lord weeps for you. He stands and you're in the deadness of your sin and Christ loves you. You might ask tonight, how do you know that Christ loves me? What evidence do I have? Well, you see, the Bible says that God demonstrated his love to us. Isn't that marvelous? How can you and I know that God loves us? Oh, yes, we can say it, but God has actually demonstrated it to us that you might know tonight definitely. God demonstrated his love that while we were yet sinners, there's a description of a man who's spiritually dead. There's a description of a man who's in the grave. He's dead, he's stinking. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the love of Christ. While we were at enmity against God, while we were enemies of God, God sent his Son to die upon a cross. And my friend, if you want to see the love of Christ for you, you go no further than to look to the cross. Picture the scene, the Lord Jesus Christ, beaten and bruised and whipped, nailed to a Roman rugged cross. And oh yes, we're not just thinking of the physical pain, but there was there upon the cross, God laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ our sin, and the wrath of God was poured upon Christ. And he suffered there upon the cross the wrath of God. And what does that hymn say? Was it the nails that held thee to the tree? Nay, it was thine everlasting love for you, for me. Here's the Lord standing out the front of this tomb, and he weeps. Let me tell you tonight, the Lord weeps for you. You know, Christ, he looked over Jerusalem before he went to the cross, and what does the Bible teach us? It says he wept. He wept for Jerusalem. Or let me tell you tonight, you might hate the Lord. And you hate him because you live in rejection of him. And you live in rebellion of him. But Christ loves you. He's demonstrated that to you. And my friend, doesn't that melt your heart tonight? Are you so hard and so cold that the scene of the cross and seeing the Lord coming and dying for you has no impact upon you? The fact the Lord standing out the front of you, in a sense, and you're in that tomb and you're dead, and there he is weeping for you. Is your heart so cold tonight that you're left unimpressionable? My friend, tonight, here's a demonstration of the love of Christ. But then fourthly and finally, I want us to see Christ's command. Because we see in verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And I want you to notice here that Christ, he calls Lazarus by name. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And you know, it's an amazing fact, because if the Lord had just said, come forth, all the dead would have risen. Do you understand that tonight? But the Lord singled out Lazarus. He specifically called unto him, Lazarus, come forth. And the result was that this man who was dead, this man who had begun to degrade, this man who had begun to corrupt, gets up. He's resurrected. Let me tell you tonight, the Lord calls you by name, because it says in verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me. What does whosoever mean? That means you. That means you. The Lord calls to you tonight and he says, whosoever, put your name in there, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Oh, dear unbeliever, tonight, the Lord calls to you when you're in the darkness, when you're spiritually dead, in the grave, and he calls to you to come forth tonight. You see this scene. There's Lazarus. He's dead. He's in the grave. And it seems pointless to call to a dead man to come forth. And if it wasn't Christ who said that, you would have said, that what a silly thing to do. But yet the Lord says these words, the one who we've seen is the resurrection and the life. And when the Lord speaks, we see the dead rise. What a wonder that is. And notice there, see, Christ called him out of the tomb. And you think of that tonight, dear unbeliever. Christ is calling you from your sin. He's calling you from your life of rebellion. He's calling you from the depravity of your own sin. He's calling you from the enslavement to sin. He's calling you from the decay of your spiritual life. He's calling you from the rottenness of your heart. And he's calling you to life in Christ. Lazarus, come forth. This was an effectual call, wasn't it? The Lord called, and this man has risen from the dead, and out he comes. That's an effectual call. Oh, that tonight the Lord would call and you would hear his voice. The Lord's calling you tonight. You see, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. And this is what we read. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you see, here's God, here's Christ commanding this man. He's calling to him and he's saying, come forth. And tonight God is calling to you. You see, this call was in the nature of a command. Lazarus, come forth. And God is commanding you to come to him tonight. Oh yes, it's true. God commands all men everywhere to repent. The gospel call is an offer, yes, but it's also a command to come to Christ. Oh, that you would hear his voice tonight and humble yourself and ask the Lord to save you. You know he will. But isn't this a wonderful scene? There are these people. The Lord's weeping. Others are sorrowing. There's death in the air. And the Lord speaks, and all of a sudden the situation changes. All of a sudden, death disappears. All of a sudden, the decay disappears. All of a sudden, in this body that was degrading, life comes in. And all of a sudden, imagine the scene. The man walks out of the grave. What tremendous joy. And that's what the Lord can do for you. You see, when God saves a person, he saves them in a moment. When God regenerates, it's instantaneous. Oh yes, you're spiritually dead tonight, but the Lord can spiritually resurrect you. And tonight, if you will humble yourself and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he said there, believe in him. And my friend, you can know even tonight you have been saved. You can be spiritually resurrected and know life in Christ at the moment of time. Oh yes, God doesn't call you to good works. He doesn't ask you to do all these deeds, but he asks you to come. He asks you to repent of your sin and believe in him. Oh, that you do that tonight. I want to just conclude with the Lord's words in verse 26 of John 11. Because these are words for you tonight. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he says in verse 26, believest thou this? Let me ask you that tonight. Believest thou this? Or it's all very well to know of Christ, to have a head knowledge. It's all very well to come to church and read your Bible. It's all very well to do certain things. But the Lord's not looking for that. The Lord asks you tonight, believest thou this? That's what the Lord asks you. You see, the Lord's looking for a response from you. You think of what the Lord has done for you. He's died upon a cross. He's been buried. He's risen again from the dead. And now he looks to you. He looks to me and he asks us, believest thou this? You see, spiritual life, everlasting life, is only found in Christ. He is the only one who can make you spiritually alive. You think of those words in Ephesians 2 and verse 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. You know what that word quicken means? Means to make alive. There it is, dear friends. Even when we were dead in sins. Oh, sinner, can't you see it tonight? You're dead in sins, but the Bible's saying we can be quickened together, but it's not by yourself, it's with Christ. You need him tonight. Oh, you need him. Do you see tonight your need of a spiritual resurrection? Do you see that Christ is your greatest need. Believest thou this? I can only leave that with you. I can't create an anxious thought. But oh, that tonight you would ponder these words and consider this. My friend, the Lord has given us the time of our life to get right with God. And our life is but a breeze, is but a flash of light compared to eternity. And you young people tonight, and even you old people, anyone tonight who's not converted, and you know that you're not right with God, and be honest with God tonight. Or yes, you can fool men, but you can't fool God. And He asks you the question tonight, believest thou this? Oh, that tonight you would believe in Him. And the wonderful thing is, Jesus says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Oh, that you would come to Christ tonight. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. I am spiritually dead. But Lord, I ask you to save me. I believe you died upon a cross for my sin. I believe you rose again from the dead. Lord, I trust you. I give my life to you. Oh, that you'd do that tonight and get right with God. And trust that these words, God's word, and even these words, believest thou this, would burn into your heart tonight. That you would get right with God. Amen. Amen. We'll conclude.